You know what? You got spunk. I hate spunk.
That famous and hysterical line from the first episode of The Mary Tyler Moore Show from Lou Grant, played marvelously by Mr. Ed Asner, a great friend to this radio station. We lost Mr. Asner on Sunday, August 29th, at the age of 91. This is Adam Lepp. For the next 45 minutes, we're going to pay tribute to one of my favorite actors, someone who always made time to speak with our very own interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, be it to receive birthday greetings, talk about his career, provide a humorous holiday message, or even discuss politics. In November of 2019, Ed celebrated his 90th birthday. And as someone who has graciously spoken with Scott Spears, this radio station made sure to wish him a very happy birthday.
90 years old. Did you ever expect to be around this long? We're so glad.
No, 90 years young. You got it wrong.
I said it wrong. See, I'm not the best anymore. I've screwed up already.
Yeah. 90 years young.
What did that birthday Friday mean to you?
Well, it was like a Mardi Gras. It went on and on and on and on and on. I got sick of it.
I heard there was a big party out there in California.
There was. You turned it into a gala. My son and his wife turned it into a gala for the center that we started for autistic kids and their families.
Now, I know this has become a very important part of your life in the last 20 years. Tell everybody about your work with autism.
Well, it was discovered with my fourth child, Charlie. And his behavior was erratic, and we weren't exactly sure what it was. We had him tested and discovered that he was autistic. And that began the long discovery of what autism is, the varying degrees of it, the fact that there was, at that time, he's 32 now, there was no actual treatment, and we began the process of dealing with this condition. Fortunately, he was high-functioning, and even with a high-functioning autistic kid, you've got problems. And we still have problems with Charlie.
As a parent, as an adult, how difficult is it to go through something like that?
Well, every parent has their snags, their follow-ups. I guess it's finding a way to protect the child as he matures and turns into an adult. That's the problem, to protect him, to save him from hurt. And he's had his hurt. Right now he's with Home Depot in their training program, or waiting to be decided whether he's going to be in their training program. He's gotten a bachelor's degree from the University of Southern Connecticut, but he has not held a job yet. So our discovery is to find the job that Charlie can put aside his quirks and function and serve the public and grow. Wish us luck.
Absolutely. We certainly do wish him the best and your whole family. What kind of father is Ed Asner at this point in your life?
I give in too easily.
You're a pushover.
I'm a sucker.
Do you have any grandchildren yet?
Oh, seven.
What kind of grandpa are you?
Distant. They've got their own electronic marbles to play with, and I think most of them would prefer the cell phone or the video game or the electronic game to talking to me.
Well, speaking of technology, I do want to let the listening audience know that Ed Asner has one of the great Twitter pages. We hear so much about Twitter now. It's the only Ed Asner, at the only Ed Asner. It's a great, great Twitter to follow, so you'll want to do that. What do you make of the Twitter world, Ed?
Against the rules, doesn't it? I think all the electronic gimmicks that people now resort to, we're dispensing with human-to-human relationships. And I don't like it.
A few months ago, Ed, when your co-star Valerie Harper sadly passed away at the age of 80, there was a picture put up on Twitter, and you gave a great honor to Valerie that most people picked up at that time. And I think the line at the end that everybody caught on to was, her brilliance burst through and shined its light upon all of us. Good night, beautiful. I'll see you soon. How hard was it to lose Valerie?
It was very hard because she was a vital force. She was a great endower for the homeless, for the hungry. She did a lot for people. And she was inspiring by her acting as well.
She had
What's that?
I say, she had such a tough battle there the few years, but boy, she faced it like nobody else.
Yeah. I was amazed when I heard her announcement of what the doctors had said. Fortunately, they were wrong, at least in terms of timing. But the Grim Reaper finally caught up with her.
It's interesting.
We must be thankful for the time we had her.
You know, when I think, I remember years ago, we had Phyllis Diller on the show, and she had just turned 90, I think. And I said, Phyllis, I said, what's the worst part of getting to 90? And she said, well, you know, a lot of your friends are no longer around, and I think Valerie's gone, and Mary's gone, and Ted's gone. Is that the rough part about aging?
Yeah. Well, there's also a beating your chest and victory cry. I beat them off. I survived them. I'm the last one standing. Then you turn around, there's nobody to celebrate with.
Well, we're celebrating this morning because we're so glad you're still here. And, you know, it's interesting because 90, we think, my goodness, that is a big, big number. But people are still working at 90. People are still traveling the country at 90. You are the poster boy for this. How do you do it? Is the energy still there?
Oh, I've got plenty of it. I get my energy from the audience, which is why we're on these one-man shows. And they are very rewarding, more so than I ever realized before. To have a good show and do it and succeed in it, it's a juvenator. a rejuvenator.
Adam Lepp here, celebrating the life of a great actor, political activist, and friend to this radio station, Ed Asner, who passed away on August 29th at the age of 91. During the holiday season, we always enjoy playing the famous, or maybe it's the infamous, holiday skit from Ed Asner himself. Let's give a listen.
Hello!
Hello, this is Scott Spears with WWGH Radio. Is our Christmas expert there?
Well, yes, it is.
What's your name?
Ed Asner. What's it to you?
Ed Asner? What do you know about Christmas?
You know how many times I played Santa Claus? Where were you? I know everything about the Yuletide season. Now, are you going to get on to your questions, or should I come dick your halls personally?
And I can certainly see you have the holiday spirit.
Yeah, they hired me for my personality. And there you go with that holiday stuff. Are you one of those happy holiday guys?
Well, yes, I like to encompass all the holidays at this time of year.
You send holiday cards, eat holiday cookies. Do you celebrate Holiday Eve?
Well, no, I guess I don't.
Checkmate! Christmas it is.
Okay, well, it's getting late in the season. Is it too late to send out my Christmas cards?
Christmas cards? You send a Pony Express? This is the email age. You email your Christmas cards. And it's never too late.
Well, I kind of like having Christmas cards to hang around the house.
You want something to hang with? You ever hear of mistletoe at Christmas?
Well, yeah.
Well, nothing. Hang the mistletoe, not the cards. Cards are flammable. Mistletoe is nice, safe, and juicy. For example, at the big Christmas party I have every year, I always hang mistletoe, and I've never regretted it. Not buying chapstick, yes, that's a regret. But the mistletoe, no regrets there.
What does this have to do with Christmas cards?
Nothing, I'm just like telling that story.
But I want real Christmas cards to hang around the house.
Well, then I guess you should have sent those cards out right after Thanksgiving, boyzo. But no, you sat around eating leftover cold turkey sandwiches. And now you're out of luck. Christmas cards at youretoolate.com.
Okay, what is the best thing to serve at your holiday gathering?
There you go again. Christmas party! Say it, Christmas!
Okay, Christmas party. What's the best food to serve at your Christmas party?
Well, I like fruitcake and eggnog.
I don't really like fruitcake.
I don't really care. It's not about you. It's about your guests. And I like fruitcake. As a matter of fact, I like most any kind of cake, except cupcakes. Never been a fan. Why separate a perfectly good cake?
What does this have to do with my party?
You have a real me attitude, you know that? You know Santa Claus is not going to leave anything in your stocking this year, or any year, with this type of attitude. In my day, if you were good, Santa left an orange in your stocking. If you were really good, Santa left two oranges in your stocking. And if you were really, really, really good, you got a pair of gloves.
Why not three oranges?
Who wants an orange for Christmas? You know what it was like to wake up Christmas morning and there's not even a lousy orange? I'm not starving. All the kids in the neighborhood are out playing with their new sleds and bicycles. And I had an orange. I could can hardly imagine how jealous they were.
Okay, what about music? What's the best music to play at a Christmas party?
Now we're talking. This is my special area. You could go classic, Silver Bells, It's Christmas Time in the City, or Walking in a Winter Wonderland, or my all-time favorite, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, Jack Frost Nipping at Your Nose, Yuletide Carols Being Sung by a Choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna say, to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92, although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Wow, that's impressive, and you know, it's my favorite too, written in 1944 by Mel Torme.
Oh man, that's depressing.
Why?
Because I'm older than the song. It was written in 1944. I'm depressed. I need some fruitcake.
Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Say what?
A favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, my God, haven't you heard of Elf?
That's a good Christmas movie. I particularly like Santa Claus in that movie.
Well, hands down, It's a Wonderful Life. What a great story. Jimmy Stewart singing, and that famous line from Little Zuzu at the end. Every time you hear a bell, the oranges have arrived FedEx.
That's not the line. It's every time you hear a bell, an angel gets his wings.
Oh. That's been a different version in my neighborhood.
Okay, let's try this. What's the best story to read to your family at Christmas time?
Oh, without question. Ebenezer Scrooge. Ah, humbug. Oh, what a story that is. A guy who is evil and is visited by three ghosts, and then turns into a nice man. Yeah, you know, I had an Uncle Ebenezer. Yeah, old Ebenezer Asner. A lot of Z's there, isn't there? Boy, was he a difficult guy to get along with. When I was growing up, on Christmas morning, he would come over with figgy pudding. Now, who wants figgy pudding? Yuck! But I got even with him. I used to throw those darn Christmas oranges at his car.
Oh, it wasn't exactly Charles Dickens, was it?
Hey, don't get me wrong. I love the holidays. But it's different now. Everyone in a hurry, wanting to buy something for someone else. It's supposed to be about family. and love, caring.
You know, that's beautiful.
I know, I read it on the back of the eggnog carton during my last break.
Well, not that this hasn't been fun, but do you happen to have any parting words for our audience?
Yes, I do. Enjoy the holidays. Stay safe. Be with your friends and family. Keep the spirit of goodness with you all year round. And most importantly, no oranges!
Merry Christmas, Mr. Asner.
Merry Christmas, Scott.
Thank you so much. The audience, I'm sure, will enjoy that. Thank you so much, Mr. Asner.
It's a nice beat.
You as well. You are the best.
Thank you, man.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to a special presentation that we're calling Remembering the Actor's Actor, Mr. Ed Asner. His last appearance with Scott Spears was in February of 2021. You never quite know what will be discussed when these two gentlemen get together for a virtual visit, and this program was no exception.
Mr. Asner.
Cut you.
How's life?
It's not bad. We've survived. We're still living after probably one of the worst years to ever be experienced by the human race.
You know, Mr. Asner, I was looking at your Twitter account, and you have now received the COVID-19 vaccine, if I'm not mistaken.
I've received what?
The vaccination for COVID?
Oh, I just got it the other day.
How was it?
It didn't hurt.
And no side effects?
No, not that I know of.
That's good to hear.
I'm half dead already anyway, so maybe I just haven't been aware. But no, everything's okay. And that, of course, the confusion on the shots in America and the world, I guess, has been one of the most confounding and damning things about being in America, that our fate was left to too many bumbling people.
What have you made of that? That there are first responders, there are educators, there are people in the medical field who have been offered the vaccination but have opted not to take it.
They've opted not to take it?
Yeah, several, not all, but some. They're nervous about it.
It's certainly a way to speed up your demise, I guess, because the death toll is, how much is it now, 4 million? I don't know. But why put yourself out there like that as a sacrificial lamb? If you can have the vaccine and survive both shots, then you're ahead of the game, and I strongly recommend it to people.
When we look back on what has almost been a year now dealing with this pandemic, how do you look back on this year? It's certainly unprecedented.
It's hard to look back. I believe great books were written in the 1600s. One was called The Plague Year, or The Plague Years. I would think that out of this present siege of disease, that there will be more great literature written of people who survived and came out the other end. Let's hope that mankind can at least benefit from some great literature by these terrible events that have taken place.
What has it been like for a working actor this last year?
It's very destructive. Well, I'm not only dealing with the pandemic. I'm dealing with the fact that I've advanced in age. I'm 91 and a half now, and there aren't that many roles to allow for a 91-year-old to leap tall buildings. So there's been a diminution of work, and we resort to all kinds of new approaches to make a living.
I know for many, many years you've talked about how Hollywood tends to be more youth-oriented, and the older you get, the harder it is to get work. Is it still that way, is it?
Absolutely. Absence on youth is very much apparent here, and I'm just delighted that when the calls for work do come to me, that I'm able to surpass the test.
What is it like to go on stage or to a sound stage at 91 and a half to do the work? Is it any different than it ever has been?
I don't know how I'm going to answer that question. We scoot by, let's put it that way. Massive organization of the past has not been there. The studio's presence is not there. It's all now diminutive. Small companies, small fronts that squeak by and put out the particular story you're involved in. There's no direction in the business as there used to be. There's a lot of fly-by-night activity.
When you get a role, a script, are they different than the scripts you used to get, writing quality-wise?
Well, yeah. I'll give you an example. I've been appearing in Cobra Kai for a couple of performances and getting a lot of talk for my activity there. It's almost a nothing role, but I've gotten so much response from this appearance that I make in Cobra Kai, and it's not a very attractive role either. The people are just gratified that I'm in it and I'm there. So we're settling for less these days, I'm afraid.
As I said,
we're just getting by. We're getting by, and that seems to be important to people.
As I said in the introduction, you do have the record and have had the record. More Emmys won by you than any other single male performer in the history of the Emmys, and you've had this distinction since the early 1980s, so that's how long the record has stood. When you go on a set these days, are they expecting to get Ed Asner, or do they try to write different things for you?
That's a question I haven't thought about or been asked. I don't know. I'm pleased whenever there's a healthy role that's been written for me. They don't come often. So I try to, fry the eggs with a little more piquant than I normally would to satisfy myself and those who have hired me. We survive, pal. We survive, and it's an interesting challenge to be able to come up with a new character next week.
September 2020 was the 50th anniversary of the debut of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Does it seem like 50 plus years ago now that that show started?
What was the question? I didn't hear you.
Does it seem like it's been 50 years since Mary Tyler Moore started?
No, I mean, when people deal with it, it's like Queen Elizabeth the First has sailed by on the Thames, and I'm giving a blow-by-blow account. A lot of it seems like ancient history, and I'm amazed to watch it roll past me and realize that's me. I was there. I did that. I'm in it.
This is Adam Lepp remembering the great actor, activist, and author, Mr. Ed Asner. He passed away at the age of 91 on Sunday, August 29th. As you probably know, Mr. Asner never shied away from sharing his political beliefs, including when he spoke with our very own Scott Spears. He wrote a book in 2017 called The Grouchy Historian, An Old-Time Lefty Defends Our Constitution Against Right-Wing Hypocrites and Nutjobs.
He has written one of the best books. I read it cover to cover, and I have it right in front of me, The Grouchy Historian, An Old-Time Lefty Defends Our Constitution Against Right-Wing Hypocrites and Nutjobs. Oh my goodness. I tell you, if we had an acting theater in this country like England, this man would be considered a national treasure. Matter of fact, he is considered a national treasure. So glad to welcome to these microphones Ed Asner.
Mr. Asner, how are you?
Well, after that introduction, I'm blushing.
Well, I didn't even have that written down. Mr. Asner, I read the book cover to cover. I loved it. It's tremendous.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful because thank God I was allied with Ed Weinberger, who was the motivating force behind the whole book.
And I do want to let the audience know, if you want a Christmas gift for somebody, you still have time to get on Amazon, The Grouchy Historian, or search Ed Asner. You'll find it. The subject matter here, Mr. Asner, how did it come about, the Constitution?
Well, Ed approached me, knowing my sentiments, and asked if I wanted to work with him on it. And when he cited its basis and what his aim was, I leaped at it. It's essentially a means of delivering the truth to all those people who hear the Constitution, who talk about the Constitution, who hear others quoting the Constitution. They never take it upon themselves to use it as part of their being. And we merely want it to get all those people who are not right-wing yahoos to realize that they own the Constitution as much as anybody else.
Want to give the listeners out there a little taste. Here's some facts that you will learn in this book, that I learned in this book. George Washington's dentures were made of hippopotamus tusks.
Yeah,
that's interesting. And this is a fascinating fact. The publisher who first printed the copies of the Constitution in 1787 did not get paid until March 1793.
That's because the country didn't have any money.
And most people think we were a very prosperous country from the start.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, our battle cry was no taxation, no representation. Well, we finally got the representation, but we didn't institute taxes until George Washington and Hamilton began slapping excise taxes on whiskey and such items as that. This country was broke and had great debt.
Here's something else interesting. Of the 3,000 copies of the Constitution that were first printed in Philadelphia in 1787, 1,500 were in German. Interesting.
We had a large German populace. There was a great emigration from Germany, I believe, in 1840. I don't know what it would have constituted the German influence prior to 1840.
In early November of 2020, out of lack of a better term, we had an exciting national election. On election night, Scott Spears heard from our good friend, Ed Asner.
This is one of the great actors of our time. You probably remember him best as Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He is terrific. Won more Emmys than any other male performer in the history of the Emmys, Ed Asner. Mr. Asner, how are you on election night?
Well, boy, I better get my ass chewed out, but I was supposed to call so much earlier, and I'm fine, if you'll forgive me.
No, you know what? Just to hear your voice makes me happy. So it's come a little later than we expected, but we're good to hear from you.
Oh, that's good. You got me, buddy.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Asner, here we are, election 2020. It looks like Florida is leaning President Trump. Does that surprise you?
Well, I don't believe it's a fact yet, pal. We'll wait to see.
What do you think will happen here? Do you think we're going to know anything tonight when this all wraps up?
Well, we'll know it insofar as Trump doesn't contest it with challenges all over the place in the courts and God knows how else he'll want to challenge it.
In Ohio, which is where we sit right now, with over half the votes in, it looks like Joe Biden has a pretty commanding lead. We would not have suspected that, according to the numbers that we saw.
Really?
Yeah. It was a foregone conclusion till about the last week that Trump was going to win Ohio. Now, not that he still can't do that, but right now, with over 52% of the vote in, Joe Biden's got like a 9% lead here.
Well, I certainly am for Biden, so I hope he builds it even more.
What do you think happened to President Trump? I think a lot of people felt he was a very popular president before this pandemic. Has the pandemic been his Waterloo?
Yeah, it certainly has been. Greeting it like a bully boy and not wearing a mask and saying it's gone around the curve and it's all going to be better. And people keep dying. And we haven't seen the worst of it.
You're out in California, Mr. Asner. What's it like out there?
We seem to be in control. We're in a controlled state. Our people are acceptant of the facts. And we seem to be doing all right.
That's good to hear. What do you think Joe Biden can do for this country that President Trump has not done? What's the biggest change he could make?
He can enforce what the doctors project: masks, social distancing, that type of thing. He'll regulate vaccines. I think we'll just be a lot more secure than we would be with Trump. Trump is played it badly from the beginning with his attitude towards, and, you know, and then not even acknowledging the fact that he got the best medical treatment in the world, which most people don't get.
Do you think Trump getting coronavirus, COVID-19, may have been the icing that laid his cake away for this particular election?
It certainly helped. Certainly helped. I kept waiting for him to go into that fatal phase, which a lot of people seem to go through when it reasserts itself. And thank God it didn't. But he sure was playing AC/DC with the cards.
You know, Mr. Asner, here you've been around for quite a while, and this hasn't been talked up because of the coronavirus to a certain degree, but if Joe Biden would win tonight, yes, we would have the oldest president ever elected, but we, for the first time, would have somebody, president or vice president, a female. Kamala Harris would be the vice president.
Yeah. Well, that would be a refreshing thing. I'm not sure about her, but I think, first of all, I don't think I'd be amazed if Biden will be in shape to run for re-election if he becomes president. Which leaves Kamala in the front place for being the candidate. I hope she learns a lot.
Very interesting. We're looking at results here right now. 65% of the vote in Texas. Biden leading in Texas by a small margin. That's Republican territory.
I know. Large. Well, don't forget, you know, we had some great Texans coming out, Lyndon Johnson among others. And the gal who was governor of the state, Ann, what was her name? Ann
Richards.
Yeah. She was a honey. So Texas has been there before.
You know, Mr. Asner, when the dust settles on this night, do you think it will be a big win for Biden? Do you think it'll be a nail biter? How do you think this will all wrap up?
I think it'll be a nail biter, but I mean, I can't keep up with the changes. They're coming so fast. And once again, we'll see how much of a challenge he tries to throw up in the courts to the mail-in vote.
You know, Mr. Asner, many people have said as we have approached this election that it was the most crucial election of our lifetime. Is it for you? Is this the most crucial because of this pandemic?
I think it is for the country. It isn't for me. It doesn't matter to me. My life has been lived. But it is for my family and the country that they want to live in the future. And so I'm fighting for that.
What is it like watching these results come in for you? Do you like election nights? Is it nerve-wracking for you? Is it like a sporting event? How do you see election night?
I see it as unintelligible. The guy who's putting up the colored maps, his voice drives me crazy.
What channel are you watching?
He's the fastest talker in the world. CNN.
I thought it was connected.
He does speak fast, does he not?
Yes, he does.
He does. Well, I got to tell you, late, early, whatever it might be, to hear from Ed Asner on election night makes this election night. Mr. Asner, as I've said, if we had a national theater in this country, we would declare you a treasure, but I'm going to do it anyway. Ed Asner is a treasure. Anybody who's seen him knows that. You've always been so good to me. Thank you, Mr. Asner.
Well, you're very kind, and I'm really sorry
that I was dozing and didn't take witness of what time it was. So please forgive me for being late.
No, and hopefully we can speak once the dust settles on this.
Good willing.
Thank you, Mr. Asner.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for listening to Remembering Ed Asner, the actor's actor. This is Adam Lepp.